कुंज विहारी। नया राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपीगण वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी।
ओम श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
We are reciting from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, 9th chapter, text number 32.
यावानहं यथाभावो यद्रूपगुणकर्मकः तथैव तत्त्वविज्ञानम् अस्तु ते मदनुग्रहात् यावान
एटर्नल एस आई एम इन एटर्नल फॉर्म
अहम
myself,
यथा
as much as,
भावः
transcendental existence,
यत
those,
रूपा
various forms and colors,
गुणा
qualities,
कर्मकः
activities,
तथा
so and so,
एव
certainly,
tadbhavijnanam,
factual realization,
astu,
let it be,
te,
unto you,
mat,
my,
anugrahat,
by costless mercy. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, as a Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my costless mercy. This is a long purport. Probably we will cover a part of it. And if time permits, we'll complete it.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ತೇ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಪರ್ಪುರ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸ್ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ. The secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is the costless mercy of the Lord. Even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. The father discloses the confidence unto the son whom he thinks worthy. An important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. Similarly, one must be very dear to the Lord in order to know the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. No one can know him completely. But one's advancement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Here we can see that the Lord is sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his costless mercy to him, so that Brahmaji may have the factual realization of the Lord by his mercy only. We are reading from the chapter Answers by citing the Lord's version. And here, after the Brahma's tapasya, the Lord is speaking to Brahma. And many great truths about truths and principles about the nature of devotional service are revealed in this verses and purports. As Prabhupada says here, the secret of success in understanding the knowledge of the Lord is the costless mercy of the Lord, he says. So he gives an example here how sometimes even a jamindar, he has many different type of sons. He doesn't disclose about everything to everyone. Sometimes he may have a invalid son whom he may just arrange for his maintenance and care. There may be another son who may be rebellious always, looting the father's money and squandering it here and there. So he just lives like a parasite on the father. So the Jamindar doesn't mind, because he has him as his son. He may also provide for his needs, but he will not reveal to him about all the secrets of his property, how much wealth he has, in which bank he has. Nor is he going to give him the freedom to sign and take out any money. There may be some pet son whom he may love very much, but he cannot trust, because he knows that he is not competent to handle his property. He is not competent to handle money, property, people. He doesn't have that necessary talent. But there may be one of his sons, oftentimes elder son or younger son, whomever he has developed a deep trust in, to whom he may reveal. He may take him into confidence and he may reveal to him that here is the property, or here we have kept some treasure underground in this place, and these are the different places I have lands. You will see this is very common in villages, because Even if one of the sons asks the father, why don't you tell me everything about yourself? He may often say that, I can't tell you, but you have no ability to understand. You don't have that acumen, business acumen, to understand what I have to say. So, oftentimes the father doesn't, he may even shower love upon some, but he doesn't have trust in them. Only a trusted son is entrusted the property. In the same manner, Shastras also say, the Lord also is a person who is called as a father. Aham bija pradaha pita, he says, I am a father. And all living entities are his sons, but they are all like different type of sons. See those who are going to Krishna for some material benefits. They are simply going and begging the father for some goods. Give me this, give me that. Certainly they cannot earn the trust of the Lord. They are so main-minded that they are satisfied playing with toys and tricycles. Their vision cannot go beyond that. So, the Supreme Lord as a father, he provides them, okay, this is what you want, take it. Paribhus Svayambhur, the verse in the Ishopanishad, it says, Kavir Manishi Paribhus Svayambhur Yata Tatyatortan Vidada Chashvatibhya Samabhya. It is said, Lord is a Kavi, a very learned and wise personality. In fact, he is a supremely learned. No one is as learned as him. And when he sees these petty living entities, poor living entities with their tiny, tiny material desires, they are satisfied with small gifts from the Lord. He gives them. Sometimes you see, you got a television or something, you take it out and then there is a thermocol covering, kept inside. And then you keep the box aside, thermocol. Sometimes children come and see that, oh, this thermocol thing they take and say, oh, so wonderful it is. Can I keep it with me? You have seen children ask like that. So who is going to bother so much? Okay, take it. And they will take it and take it to their home and preserve it as if it's a very valuable commodity. So in the same manner, the material objects of this world are like that reject commodity. And the living entities are so fond of accepting some petty material things. So Lord provides them and leaves them. Okay. And the jnanis, they are like parasites. They want to merge into Brahman and experience joy without serving the Lord. They don't want to serve Him. They don't want to even accept His personality. But they want to live on His property. So they are also counted amongst beggars. Yogis are also first-class beggars. Why? Because they don't beg. They don't beg for the thermocol. They beg for the TV. They are certainly more smart. So, how I can walk on water, fly in the sky, become smaller than an atom? Ashtasiddhis. So they work hard. They cry a lot, and at last get their material goods, what they want. So in this way, all these sons of the Lord, they all are satisfied with something other than service to the Lord. But the devotee of the Lord is the only one who doesn't accept any commodity from the Lord. He just wants to serve the Lord and please Him. In fact, recently I was reading a very instructive purport in the third canto. He says that a devotee never thinks, I have done enough for the Lord, that Lord has to now, give me what I am going to ask. A devotee never feels like this. A devotee feels, oh, I have committed so many sinful activities in my past and present lives, and I deserve to be solidly punished. And probably I may be getting the body of an animal in the next life, animal or a bird or a plant. And I am willing to accept it. And my dear Lord, wherever you want to put me, an animal species or insect species or plant species, you may put me there, but kindly don't neglect me altogether. Put me in a place where I will be having some company of devotees. Like in a Kita Janma Hovu Yata Tuva Das. Bahirmukha Brahma Janma Nahiya, she says. So, this is the prayer of a devotee. He is willing to accept even an animal form in the next life, even after having rendered so much of devotional service. And what to speak of asking for any goods from the Lord? He doesn't ask anything. No? He only begs for service to Lord. And that's why the Lord considers such devotees as His most confidential, lovable associates. Those who don't demand anything from Him. See, this is not a very difficult psychology to understand. Like if you have friends in your life who come to you for always asking for some loan or asking for some facility from you. Or even if they come and praise you, talk to you very nicely, they have very warm friendship with you, but only because of your material position, it will never touch our heart. It's very easy to understand. If people, sometimes people think Radhesham is president, you know, we will give some gift to him so that whenever we want something, you can ask him. So that relationship will never please the heart at all. If something is coming from the heart, then it will also touch the heart. If something is coming with a motive, that will only irritate the mind. Of course, Lord is such a great personality, He doesn't get irritated, He tolerates. And He provides whatever people are asking Him for. So, the devotees of the Lord are the only one who give their hearts to the Lord. They give their heart. And that is why Krishna is touched. Krishna is very deeply touched by them. And He considers them His own. His own people. Svajan. He considers them His own people and He gives Himself to them also. Personally. Just like you see this Ashwatthama. In Mahabharata we read, once he came to Krishna and asked, you know, I will give my Brahmastra to you. Can you give me your Surshin Chakra to me? He asked. And Krishna turned to Arjuna and said, hey Arjuna, just see, even you or even Balaram, even my sons, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, none of you ever has asked me for my chakra. Ever before. But see, the son of a Brahman, Ashwatthama, is asking for my chakra. Just see how surprising it is. He said, and then Krishna took his chakra and released it. And chakra went round and round Ashwatthama. And that fellow could not even catch it properly. He was trying to capture it. And because it was becoming difficult to handle, he again threw it back to Krishna and Krishna picked it up. Ashwatthama said, you keep with your chakra, you keep your chakra with yourself, I will keep my Brahmastra myself, he said. Then Krishna asked, but I wanted to know, why did you ask for my chakra? Yes, Ashwatthama said, to kill you. You see? So, people who study the scriptures to kill Krishna, they are in Ashwatthama Parampara. You can see, they take Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all these Puranas and everything, but they try to keep God aside and promote themselves through their writings. So, you can see the non-devotees of the Lord, especially the impersonalists, whom Prabhupada will explain in this purport, they use the same words of the Lord to shut the mouth of the Lord and speak what they want to speak. This kind of tendency nature. So how can the Lord reveal secrets about Him? When a non-devotee or an impersonalist is chanting the names of the Lord feels as if somebody is lashing Him and taking a whip. The Lord doesn't feel any pleasure at all if a non-devotee calls His name. Because a non-devotee is calling His name for merging into Brahman. The Lord doesn't feel any pleasure at all. Whereas when a devotee is calling the Lord's name, Lord feels very great joy. In fact, He cannot resist Himself from appearing in front of the devotee. He manifests Himself. Yeah. So, the devotees are called as the most confidential servants, the most intimate associates. And in front of His devotees, the Lord does not fear to reveal about Himself. In order to speak about Himself, He has no shyness in front of the devotee. Or in other words, we can say, the devotee's heart is filled with so much love, the Lord cannot resist telling all truths about Himself to the devotee. In that way, the Lord unwillingly, unwantingly tells about all His glories to His devotee. Because Lord is the most humble person. But He reveals His glories to His devotees. Why? because the devotees are so kind, so good, and so intimate, and so understanding, and so surrendered, and so absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. As a reciprocation of the devotee's love for him, the Lord reveals more and more to the devotee. Like that. So, that is why you will find when Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, idam tute guhyatamam prabhakshyamyanasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshashaya shubhat. He is saying, here, my dear Arjuna, I am going to tell you the most guhyatama jnana. You see, Bhagavad Gita, if you see, there are two covers and in the middle you have Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So just like we keep valuable gold or silver in a box, very carefully kept inside a box, you will not keep it near the window so some thief can come and steal it. You will not throw it in the garbage. You will keep it in a preserved way. So Lord also has kept the Bhakti Yoga preserved in Bhagavad Gita, beginning with karma, ending with jnana. In between, Bhakti is preserved very nicely. And in those verses, you will find the Lord is telling how his devotees are the most confidential associates, Mahatmas. Like Prabhupada says, definition of Mahatma, he says, stop your service to nonsense and give your service to reality. That is Mahatma, he says. That's the meaning of Mahatma. Stopping one service to nonsense and giving one service to the reality, Krishna. This is the meaning of Mahatma. So, those who are Mahatmas are 100% engaged in Lord's service. What is the meaning of 100% engaged? Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks a question. If somebody is a grihastha, you know, he will have his husband or wife or children, household duties to be performed, some job to be done to earn money, to earn the livelihood. So how can we consider such a devotee to be engaged 100% in the Lord's service? And then he says that a person is 100% engaged in Lord's service, but they do the needful with other requirements of the family. Yes, you know, we have to attend to the children, we have to attend to wife and husband and family and the duties and responsibilities. They also take care of that, but they are 100% engaged, he says. Why? Their heart is given to the Lord, but whatever is needed to be done, minimum, they also do that in order to keep the body and soul together. Not like the materialistic people who do the material life as the main business and once in a while visit temple also. Or once in a while during some, you know, Lakshmi Puja or some, you know, Saraswati Puja, they make a long queue to Lakshmi temple so that she will give more money to them. Not like that. The devotee first, the first priority for a devotee is devotion service. And then other things also they take care, he says. In that way, a person can be considered to be engaged 100%, he says. So, when one becomes very confidential servant of the Lord, then the Lord reveals in the heart of the devotee more and more truths about himself. The, like we say two things, you know, in the Kanishtha Madhyama Uttama Adhikari, you know, categorization. One is the knowledge and the other one is the faith. So, once knowledge, more and more knowledge about the Lord is also revealed, and the faith also becomes deeper and deeper and deeper as the devotee advances. In fact, all the stages of Bhakti Yoga are actually different stages of faith only. Increasing faith, from lower faith to more increasing faith, more deeper faith. Like that. Now, how can we say, I know something? What is the proof that we know something? Knowledge means three things. Source, connection, and purpose. If we don't know these three things, then we cannot claim that we know something. Say, for example, you see some person. Who is this person? What is his source? Oh, he is born in the land of Bharata. So you know his source. And what is his connection? He is a citizen of the country of India. And what is his purpose? His purpose is to serve the nation, as he is a citizen of the nation. In the same manner, when we talk about knowing the jiva, knowing the living being, what is his source? He is, you know, he is a part and parcel of Krishna. That is the role of a jiva. He is not the body, the soul. And this connection is, Krishna is the prapitamaha, pitamaha, everything Krishna says, I am the one. Aham bija prada pita. So there is a connection. And what is his purpose? To serve the whole. Then it is, all the three things are understood. Otherwise, the material knowledge, what we learn, the so-called knowledge, what is being taught in the schools and colleges, that superficial material science, that doesn't touch the knowledge at all. It is called avidya. That's a term used in Sanskrit. So, when we talk about the knowledge of the Lord, it is not just the information that the scriptures give that one is supposed to know and repeat. This is a very important thing. Subsequently, Prabhupada will talk about that. We will read more. In the Vedas also it is said that a person cannot know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his yogamaya potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality and pastimes. So here, Prabhupada is condemning the mundane scholarship. There is a verse which says, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya bahu na shrutena. The first line says, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. Even if one is a very great pravachankar, pravachankar means one may give very powerful lectures based on their scholarship of the scriptures. So the word pravachan is used specifically. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. Because most people in this world are more eager to instruct others than practice oneself. The people who like to instruct are more. Like, you know, many students come and ask me, you know, when can I start giving pravachan? When will you permit me? You know, one devotee came to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, would you like to hear me reciting 700 verses? He asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, when are you going to begin practicing half a verse? He asked him. So practice, don't parrot. That is the lesson Prabhupada taught. Simply parroting the verses is not what is expected of us. How much are we practicing? Oftentimes you will find a devotee who is becoming a preacher now, he will try to memorize as many verses as possible. And giving a Bhagavatam class or any lecture means you close the eyes and repeat some series of verse after verse, a dozen verses. And one thinks oneself very competent now to give Bhagavatam classes. Because I could cram so many verses of Bhagavatam and everything and repeat verse after verse. That doesn't make us any big devotee. So Prabhupada asked, when are you going to begin practicing half a verse? He asked. Similarly, another time, another devotee brought a devotee to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this devotee has memorized all 700 verses, forward, backward, upward, downward. You can ask him in any way. He can repeat. Prabhupada didn't even raise his head. He was sitting and writing something on a desk. He just told the devotee, why don't you take him into the kitchen and ask him to wash pots? He asked. Ask him to do something useful. He said. You see, Prabhupada was never impressed. Does that mean that Prabhupada did not want us to recite any verses at all? No. In another occasion, somewhere in North India, probably it was in Jaipur, I think, and there was some occasion where thousands of people had come. There was one Kaushalya Mataji. So Prabhupada called her. She's a foreign body devotee. Prabhupada called her to the stage and told all those elite men who are sitting there, look at this lady. She's born in America. She's wearing a sari. And she has memorized Ishopanishad, all the verses. and she can repeat. And then she started repeating, huh? Beginning from Om Purnamada Purnavidam, she started. Huh? Only thing is she had memorized only up to 6 verses. Huh? And then she repeated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and Prabhupada said, that's good enough now, he said. Go now, he said. You know? So all the people were impressed. Hmm? Yeah. Now we may ask, why Prabhupada asked her to repeat if Prabhupada is not impressed with memorizing? Prabhupada used the shloka repetition of a foreign body devotee to inspire people to surrender to Krishna. He was using it. Otherwise, Prabhupada was generally not at all appreciative of any big scholarship. Because oftentimes, big scholarship makes one infatuated and proud. That one can lose humility. One can become unnecessarily proud. That is why it is said, if one is very learned, or one has a beautiful body, or one is very wealthy, but they are very humble, that is causeless mercy of the Lord. It is said. Without causeless mercy, one cannot be humble like that. With all those qualifications. But in general, it is seen in this world, anyone who becomes very learned or wise, and they think themselves to be more potent, more smarter, more great, than everyone else, and they consider everyone a fool. Except I am the most knowledgeable and best informed. Nobody can match me. This kind of foolish idea comes in the head of a scholarly person. That is why it's condemned. There was one, Krishna's Kaviraj's Goswami, he was a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he had a disciple, Mukunda. And Mukunda had a disciple, his name was Rupa Kaviraj. This Rupa Kaviraj was very learned, a deeply learned scholar in the Bhagavata. And he was speaking Bhagavata, and hundreds of people were sitting and attending the lecture, very, very appreciative and absorbed. There was one Mataji, Krishna Priya Mataji, who was sitting. And she is a descendant of Gangadas. Very, very advanced devotee. See, it's very difficult to know Vaishnava. Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigneha Bhuja, it is said. She was a very great devotee. And she was such an advanced devotee that her lips would never stop uttering Krishna's names. All day, all night, she would be chanting Krishna's names. So she also became eager to attend the lecture. She came there and she sat behind. But her lips were moving. Of course, nobody was disturbed by her chanting because nobody could hear her chanting. But only her lips were moving. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. She was softly chanting. This Rupa Kaviraj became so angry seeing the sight. He blasphemed her very vehemently, very vigorously. And although she said, I am trying to control my lips, I am trying to stop the chanting so that I will not cause any disturbance to you. But still, what can I do? My lips don't stop chanting Krishna's names. I am unable to stop, she said. He became all the more angry. So the destiny of the Rupa Kaviraj was, when he died, he became a ghost. Although he was a very learned scholar. You see? So it's a very great lesson that one, by dint of one's scholarship, should never become proud. Especially of one's learning. Because the Shastras say, one's learning is like a very big burden on the back of a donkey. A donkey sometimes may be told to carry a big burden of books, but he is never going to read them, nor is he going to benefit from those books. He is just a donkey carrying a load. In the same manner, sometimes we may become learned, and we may be even able to quote many verses, and we may be able to even argue and defeat other people. But if that learning doesn't transform our hearts, and we don't become proper Vaishnava by that learning, then it is considered like a big burden on the back of a donkey. Yeah. So that is why here it is condemned that revelation of... See, why the word revelation is used? The word revelation is very common in the scriptures. The Shastras never say one can acquire the darshan of the Lord. One can capture the Lord, you know. They don't talk like that. They say revealed. ప్రకాశంతి మహాత్మన. ప్రేమ భక్తి యాహోయితే అవిద్యా వినాశ జాతే. దివ్య జ్ఞాన్ హృదయ ప్రకాశితో. ప్రకాశిత మీన్స్ ద దివ్య జ్ఞాన్ విల్ లిట్ అప్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అ డివోటీ. హూ ఇస్ లిటింగ్ అప్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్? యు ద సూపర్ సోల్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఇస్ లిటింగ్ అప్ ద హార్ట్ విత్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ద హార్ట్ అండ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ ది బోత్ ఆర్ సేమ్ తత్వ ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ దట్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ద హార్ట్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్పాండింగ్ అస్ ద గురుస్ విజ్డమ్ విచ్ ఇస్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లిప్స్ ఆఫ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్. సో that knowledge actually lights up the heart of a devotee. How do we know the knowledge is lighting up the heart of a devotee? Because the devotee will become affected by that positive knowledge that is revealed by the Lord. The devotee will take it to the heart and apply it in one's life and become transformed, and many symptoms will be visible in the devotee which appear in the form of mercy. How can we know somebody is favored by the Lord? One way to know is you will develop a very firm faith in Krishna, firm faith in Guru, Sadhu, Shastras. You will develop a very deep faith, deep rooted faith. That's what Gopinath Acharya said to Sarvabhata Acharya. He said, if you are favored by the Lord, you would have developed a very deep faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The very fact that you are getting doubts more and more about the Lord, you are applying your logic and reason for understanding the Lord, it's a proof that you haven't achieved the mercy of the Lord. So, oftentimes you find very advanced pure devotees, they may not be able to give any scientific explanation about the Lord, but they have developed their faith without having to know any logical reason for why the Lord is supreme. That's because they are favored by the Lord. Lord shows them, here I am, take me. This is the way I look like. This is the way I work. Lord reveals to them. And they get the faith. Yeah. That is one way the favor of the Lord appears in the heart of a devotee. And the Lord also may offer favors to a devotee by instructing a devotee to do many things. Just like Madhavendra Puri was instructed by the Lord, do this for me. And Lord gave instructions to them. And the Lord also may flood the heart of the devotee with unlimited realizations about his name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities. A devotee may be, how advanced acharyas speak about the Lord? Because they are seeing him. They are seeing him means the Lord is revealing. It's like sometimes in your radio or TV you have a band. You move the band exactly when it comes to a certain point, then you hear the sound. Isn't it? When you move it to a particular station. In the same manner, the pure devotees are tuning themselves to the spiritual world. When they tune themselves, immediately they are empowered by the Lord. And then they start revealing the truths as revealed by the Lord. So it's called as revelation. Revelation. Prakashante Mahatmana. So Lord has to reveal. We can actually pray to Lord for revelation.
జగన్నాథ స్వామి నయన పథగామి భవతు మే.
ఓ మై డియర్ లార్డ్ జగన్నాథ్, ఆల్దో ఐ హ్యావ్ టూ ఐస్ వైడ్ ఓపెన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఏబుల్ టు సర్చ్ ఆఫ్టర్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ వెరీ అటెంటివ్లీ వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ అండ్ మేక్ ష్యూర్ దట్ ఐ గెట్ వాట్ ఐ వాంట్, స్టిల్ మై ఐస్ ఆర్ బ్లైండ్ టు సీ యూ. ఆల్దో మై ఇయర్స్ ఆర్ వెరీ షార్ప్ to know what is the situation of the stock market now, and how I can invest money where. They are very attentive to that, but they are not attentive to hearing your holy names. So please kindly reveal yourself to me. Unless you reveal yourself to me, I cannot see you. Not possible for me. So that kind of prayer a devotee can offer. And when will the Lord reveal? When he is pleased with us. Whether we are giving a lip service to him, or we are giving our heart to him. Are we really serious about what we are asking? Some people actually offer a prayer just for the sake of showing off. It is not an actual prayer. The Lord says, okay, do you really want the mercy? They say, no, not that much mercy. Give me a little mercy. Because sometimes the Lord may offer mercy, and the price we may have to pay may be a very big price. Yeah, one may have to pay a big price for getting the mercy. So one may not be willing for that. That's why those people, Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi and all these people. Sometimes a person is so terribly suffering, he comes to Krishna, when suffering is finished, he also goes away. Because they didn't want anything beyond that. That's all. So Lord will test us in our life. What do we want? What are we looking for? For Bali Maharaj, the Lord took away all the three worlds from him. And the third step he put on his head. Isn't it? He bound him with Varuna Pash and everything. And he was thoroughly humiliated in front of his relatives and friends and family members. He was rebuked by the people in general, cursed by the Guru. It was a very bad situation for him, humiliating. He would have died in that situation. But Bali Maharaj tolerated all that. And when he spoke, he said, "My dear Lord, my great-grandfather like Hiranyakashipu and all, they were foolish. They would have surrendered to you. But they didn't surrender. And they got killed in your hands. But I don't want to follow the path of such people. Rather, he followed the path of Prahlad. And he surrendered to Lord completely. And then the Lord became so pleased with Bali. He favored him. How he favored him? He favored him in various ways. Different type of favors he gave him. He told him, you will be posted as a Indra in future. That was one material favor he gave him. Then he told him that I will offer you a Sutala Loka, which is called as Bilaswarga, which will be more opulent than heavens also. So he sent him to Bilaswarga. And then he said, because you surrendered to me completely, I am also attached to you now. So I will come with you to your abode. And I will become your doorkeeper. And you can every day look at me. So you don't have to fear that if I become Indra or if I am in Bilaswarga, I will enjoy the sense gratificatory delights and I may forget the Lord. You don't have to fear. Why? You will always be watching me with your eyes. You see, great kings like Swayambhu Manu, it is said they enjoyed the material world while practicing Krishna consciousness, it is said. How can somebody, I always used to wonder, how can somebody enjoy the material world while practicing Krishna consciousness? The meaning Prabhupada explains, a devotee is not bereft of material enjoyment, Prabhupada is saying, while practicing Krishna consciousness. For example, material enjoyment standard means you get good food to eat, you have a good place to stay, and you have all the amenities and facilities, beginning from the basic to everything is satisfied. And Lord keeps the devotee very nicely, always. Whoever be the devotee, Lord provides all the necessities of the devotee without much hard struggle and endeavor for acquiring those material assets. And the materialistic people, they also enjoy life, but they work hard to accumulate those things. But a devotee serves the Lord and the Lord sends all the necessities of the devotee. Everything is taken care. So in this way, the Lord offered Bali everything, including himself. He gave him everything. It's not that the devotee is after the material enjoyment, but it is the Lord who wants to give material enjoyment to devotee also. Just like he promised to Sudama Brahman also, florist. So in this way, the Lord offers so many favors. In various ways, he offers favors. Another favor of the Lord is to give the devotee a realization or understanding or awakening. That is also a favor. Transformation of heart is a favor. Also, when a devotee experiences a transformation of heart from one level of understanding to higher level of understanding, just like Prachina Parishad, his sons were all great souls, prachetas. But then he himself was not worshipping the Supreme Lord properly. His sons, all of them went to forest and they became pure devotees. But he was sitting in the palace, simply rotting. He was just performing some karmakanda sacrifices and everything. And Narada Muni came and he gave him the pure devotional service. At the end of which he told Narada, "Oh, my dear spiritual master, so many gurus taught me so many things, but all of them have cheated me," he said. "Nobody taught me this Bhagavata Dharma which you are giving me. Now I am awakened." He understood it. In fact, he told Narada that now I am immediately going to forest to practice pure devotion service. But then Narada asked, "What about your kingdom?" He said, "My sons will come and rule. But But the sons haven't come back. He said, I will put a word to the minister. My minister will wait. When sons come, they will rule. I am going now immediately. That is a favor. Because awakening has come. Dhritarashtra became awakened by the preaching of Vidura. That is also a favor. So these are all different favors. See, oftentimes as conditioned souls, we are bewildered when we study the scriptures. But when the Lord reveals himself in the heart of a devotee, the bewilderment is dissolved. Like the sun rising in the morning and all the fog is dissipated. There is no more fog. It's cleared. That is also a favor. Dispelling of the doubts is also a favor of the Lord. So Lord can give many favors like this. As Prabhupada says here, how to the faithful the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality and pastimes, he says. You know, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited South India, he came to the house of Kurma Brahmana. And then the Lord left. And that morning, one Vasudev leper arrived there because he had heard from somebody that the Lord has come. He knew Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to take his darshan. He came running. So this devotee, Vasudev leper, his whole body was covered with leprosy, disease. And there were many living worms on his body. See, the Chaitanya Charitamrita uses appropriate words. It says living worms, it says. Because the worm is dead, you may not be so much afraid. But it's a living worm. Imagine a worm is moving in your body here and there. Can you imagine? And any other worm would fall off his body, he would pick it up and put it exactly in the same location. Because he would say, because the worm is living on my body, this body is also property of the worm as much as it is my property. It's equally the property of the worm also. Let him eat. So he would keep it. And his body would be smelling so bad, such bad odor, that even most sinful people would not come near him. People would run away. He was a very great devotee of the Lord, pure-hearted soul. So he came to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just left in the morning only. Early morning he had left. And when this devotee came there, he couldn't find Mahaprabhu. Immediately he fell unconscious. He became disappointed. He fell on the ground, unconscious. He got up. Again he was lamenting and mourning, loudly weeping. Alas, what is the use of my life? The Supreme Lord came right here to this spot. And I could not even see him with my eyes. I have missed the opportunity. My life is condemned. He cried. And his cry was heard by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was far away. He had already gone away, far away. And Mahaprabhu thought in his heart, oh, this devotee of mine is so, with such great longing he is, weeping for me. How I cannot go back to meet him? So the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a turn and came back again to Kurmagram. Again he came. And he came and met Vasudev leper. He returned back only to please him, that's all. For no other reason. See, this goes to show a very valuable lesson. Anyone who yearns to meet the Lord will give him the darshan. Anybody is longing to see the Lord will reveal himself to the devotee. If we are chanting Hare Krishna every day and we don't find Lord revealing himself, what could be the reason? One is, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we can surely see one thing, that day after day, month after month, year after year, at least Lord will give us some realization on different aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy. For example, a devotee may get realization that this material world is no place for a gentleman. And this material world is a place of suffering. And material enjoyment simply will burn me out. And I should not chase after it. This is also a revelation of the Lord in one form. Or a devotee, when he chants Hare Krishna, one gets deep sense of satisfaction. Even without acquiring material objects, a devotee with nothing can become very happy. That is also a favor. When one feels satisfaction deep in the heart. Nobody gave you any gross physical gift in your hands, but you feel satisfaction. Why? Because the Lord in the heart is giving us that satisfaction. He'll give. Similarly, when one is chanting Hare Krishna, then suddenly, like Prabhupada writes in that poem, one morning, he says, today morning, one remembrance of you came in a very beautiful way, Prabhupada writes in the poem. You know, Krishna revealed himself in Prabhupada's mind, and Prabhupada became very pleased. Similarly to the devotee, while doing kirtan, while studying the books and while hearing lectures, sometimes the Lord will reveal himself in his form, in his name, in his pastimes, touching the heart of the devotee, and it may not last for a long time, but that is also a favor the Lord does to the devotee. So we certainly, every one of us here, we have experienced some favor. If we didn't get the favor, we won't be here in the first place. Because the favor that the Lord offers may be brief, but it has a deep experience. It lasts for a very long time. It makes a very deep impression. Just like in material life, they say sometimes, love at first sight. A boy, girl, they see. Sometimes the first time they see a face cut, they go mad. After that, the face cut remains in a person's mind for a very long time. This is in the realm of Maya. Similarly, in the realm of Krishna consciousness, also Krishna gives such positive experiences to a devotee. That experience may be brief but very deep. And it remains for a long time. And the purpose of the Lord is to increase a longing in our heart for Him. Then He leaves us to do the homework and He goes away. Okay, now I have given you some experience. Now you do your homework because you are not yet purified. Your senses are still impure. Okay, do more homework, get purified. Again, I'll reveal myself to you. So in this way, when we chant the holy names also, some small realization may come to us. But Vasudev was such a great devotee, the Lord was pulled towards him, attracted towards him. And he returned back to give his darshan. So when Vasudev saw Mahaprabhu, he became so overrun with transcendental ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu came and embraced him. And Vasudev leper, he said, my dear Lord, even the worst of the sinners would run away from me, seeing the bad odor of my body. But the very fact that you are embracing my body is a proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said. Because, for example, if a child is passing stool and urine, who is here who will want to clean that stool and urine except the mother? For the mother, the child's stool and urine is like sandalwood, sandal and mascara, what do you call it? Aguru. For the mother. But for everyone else, it is intolerable. The very sight of it makes you averse to it, isn't it? Similarly, for the Lord, He is Aham Bija Pradapita. He is the father of all living beings. So even though Vasudev leper's body was so bad smelling and everything, Lord embraced him because the Lord considers everyone His child. So when He embraced His body, Vasudev leper's body became completely transformed into a beautiful golden complexioned body, free from all disease. Nobody could believe His body could transform so much. It became so attractive. At that time, Vasudev leper sang this wonderful prayer from Bhagavatam. Vaham daridra papiyan kva krishna shreni ketanah brahma bandhuriti smaham bahubhyam parirambitah. This is a prayer offered by Sudama Brahmana when he was returning from Dwaraka to back to his place. On the way, he offered this wonderful prayer. He said, my dear Lord, who am I? I am a destitute. I am a poverty-stricken beggar, penniless beggar. And who are you? You are the husband of the goddess of fortune. Yet, out of your love for me, you embraced me. Bahubhyam parirambitah. It is only your causeless mercy upon me. It is only your favor upon me. Like that he prayed. So he also offered the same prayer, Vasudev leper, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he said, my dear Lord, I am surprised by this miracle that you have performed. But at the same time, I am very worried now that if people look at my body, they will say that he is a Vasudeva Amrita Prana. They will say that the Lord has transformed your body and you look so beautiful. And by hearing such praises from other people, I may tend to become proud. And that pride will become a obstacle in my devotional service to you. My love for you will become choked by the false unnecessary pride. Tell me how I can escape from this. Why did you give me this beautiful body and create obstacle in my devotion to you? He asked. Mahaprabhu said, Vasudev, do not worry. I will tell you what you should do in order to give up that false pride. He said, you should chant my holy names incessantly. He said, and you also preach the glories of the holy name to others. And he said, if you do this, you will never become proud. And suddenly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from the sight of both Kurma Brahman and Vasudeva Leper. And both of them embraced each other and wept bitterly, crying tears of love, glorifying Mahaprabhu's mercy upon them. So, this is a pastime which explains how the Lord can favor his devotee and reveal himself to the devotee. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality and pastimes. The Lord is not formless as wrongly conceived by the impersonalist, but his form is not like the one that we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form even to the extent of measurement to his pure devotees. And that is the meaning of Yavan, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. You see? Yesterday, Makanlal Prabhu was telling me the pastime. He said, this Balaji, this Prabhupada said, this Bala means child. So Balaji means is a respectable child. That's why it's called Balaji. How can a child be respectable? Have you ever seen any mother bowing down to her child? That you will only find Devaki doing to Krishna. Because Krishna is Balaji. He is also child, he is also respectable. Because he is God. Even Kunti is offering obeisances to Krishna, though being an aunt. That is because Krishna is Supreme Lord. So he was telling a pastime. He said, the Balaji deity, original deity, which is existing in Tirupati, this is not a deity of this yuga. This deity has been there for many millions of yugas ago. It has been there, the Balaji deity. And it is there in the Puranas, he said. It has been existing for a very long time. So, and the deity has survived even during Pralaya season. Many, many Pralayas have happened. Despite Pralaya coming and going, still the deity remains the same in the same place. So at one point of time, Ramanuja revealed to his followers that this Balaji deity will never be destroyed even in Pralaya, even in Srishti. It will always remain in a certain place. And he told them in that particular hills, the seven hills which are called as Anantashesh, on the top of which you will find. And who is Ramanuja? Rama Anuja. Anuja means brother. So who is Rama's Anuja? Lakshman. So, and who is Lakshman? Lakshman is also Anantashesh. So, Ramanuja also is a, according to Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja is also one type of expansion of Balaram and Lakshman. So, Anantashesh, whom is he carrying? Naturally, Anantashesh carries Vishnu. Is it not true? So, when Ramanuja revealed and then Anantacharya went there and he developed that place and everything. So, Ramanuja, when he went, at that time Balaji had only two hands. But because Ramanuja is very fond of worshipping the Lord in the form of Narayana. And also, he serves the Lord by giving him a bedstead with his own body. For the Vishnu, where Vishnu lies. And there he always sees Vishnu with four hands. And here was Lord Balaji was standing with two hands. And Ramanuja actually requested him to manifest his two more hands. So that he can see him in his form as Narayana. And Lord extended his arms and showed two more hands. Along with Shankar Chakra. That is why Balaji is Krishna having two extra hands. He was telling. So, you will find the Lord is actually, Lord Vishnu has four hands. But when Lord comes as Krishna, he has only two hands and he looks like a human being. Why? Lord actually accepts this form as Krishna in order to allow his devotees to deal with him very intimately. Very intimately. How many of you think for a minute you can deal intimately with a 400 person? Possible? You will have some reservation. Somebody has four hands. So, but Prabhupada says, there is one very shortcut formula to know who is a rascal and who is intelligent. He says, if anybody thinks God to be a human being, or he makes a human being into God, he is a rascal, he says. An intelligent person means, even though God may look like a human being, he knows God. He is an intelligent person, he says. Krishna doesn't have to show two extra hands to convince his devotees to become his devotees. Hey, please understand, I have two extra hands also, so become my devotee. No. He can come as a small baby in Vrindavan, and still everyone knows who he is. Yeah, people accept him completely, in totality. That is intelligence, Prabhupada says. And that intelligence is actually spiritual intelligence. That is actually revealed by the Lord when a devotee surrenders to Lord. Then one gets that spiritual intelligence. Otherwise one remains a rascal. Rascal means one thinks I am very smart, I am very intelligent, I can prove how Krishna is not God, how Vishnu is God, or how Vishwarupa Darshana is the ultimate God. Many people argue like that. Actually, Vishwarupa Darshana is not the ultimate God. Prabhupada explains in 11th canto. That is like a godless display of opulence, he says. Vishwarupa Darshana. Because no one's love will be awakened by seeing the Vishwarupa Darshan. Only fear will be awakened by seeing that form. So fear of God is the beginning of religion. Love of God is the end of religion. That being the case, Vishwarupa Darshana is only beginning of understanding of the personality of God. The end of that understanding is revelation of Vrajendra Nandan Krishna, as he reveals himself in Vrindavan. So I would like to stop half this purport. Whichever devotee is giving tomorrow's class can continue from here, the next paragraph. I hope I could only complete half of it. You see, so the revelation that is being explained here, Prabhupada has written in many of his purports, that it will happen if we do these two things, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And hearing from the Vaishnava literature, scriptures, especially commentaries of acharyas like Prabhupada, understanding the different aspects of Krishna, we should be eager for it. We should not be lazy to study the scriptures. We should not, because on one hand, if we acquire knowledge from Prabhupada's purports, on the other hand, we chant. So one is like theory, one is practical, laboratory, experiment. Chanting is like a laboratory experiment. So we study the theory here, and the practical will be revealed the more we chant and faithfully follow the good instructions that we learn from Prabhupada's purports. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.